You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome back to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, the focus is on answering listener questions. So if you have a question for a future episode, I'll let you know how to submit that at the end of this episode here. After spending the last two episodes discussing questions that were related to the current global crisis with the coronavirus pandemic, we're back to our, what you might call, regularly scheduled programming and to the questions that were submitted prior to the events that we were talking about in the last two episodes. So here in episode six, we're going to be discussing the work of the Holy Spirit. And the question that we're going to be looking at is this: how does the Holy Spirit work in our lives today? So let's get started. The first thing we need to do is understand who is the Holy Spirit, and we need to word it that way. Who is the Holy Spirit, not what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. It is not a thing. And so when we think about the Holy Spirit, we're looking at the third person of the Godhead, as we sometimes use that term. In Genesis chapter 1, it talks about God being there in the beginning. By the Word of God, the heavens and the earth were created. The Spirit of God was moving along the surface of the water. So we have the Spirit there in the beginning. In Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, you have the three persons of the Godhead being listed there, with Jesus there being baptized as he came up out of the water. The Spirit descended on him like a dove, and then the voice of the Father was there in heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So the Bible talks about three persons in the Godhead. And I'll link to an article in the show notes that talks about that in more detail. We won't get into it here. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the third person of the Godhead. So we're looking at a person, not a thing or not a force or not something like that. But we're looking at a person. And so in order to understand this, we first need to look at a couple things. One, how did the Holy Spirit work with the apostles? Because this was, when you look at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, this is what he emphasized, was how the Holy Spirit was going to work with the apostles. And in John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus addresses his apostles shortly before he was going to be arrested and crucified. And you have this long discourse with Jesus that he has with his disciples or with his apostles here. And he says a few things to them about the Holy Spirit. In John 14 and verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So Jesus promised the apostles, and it's important we understand, he's talking to the apostles. He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I said, because the apostles were with Jesus. They heard him teach. The Holy Spirit was going to provide them with divinely guided memories, so they weren't going to have to rely on their own memory like we would have to if we were telling of what someone said or what someone did. He was going to bring to their remembrance the things that he had said. In chapter 15 of John, in verse 26, Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." The apostles, their work was to be witnesses of Christ. They would testify about him, but the Holy Spirit would be sent to them to testify about Jesus. He would testify about me, and then the apostles would share that message. In John chapter 16, in verse 13, Jesus told his apostles, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." So the Holy Spirit was going to be sent to the apostles. He would guide them into all truth. And so here, the Holy Spirit, his work with the apostles, what is emphasized by Jesus here? He would teach them, he would remind them, he would testify to them, and he would guide them in all truth. When we get to the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit doing this, guiding them into all the truth, teaching them, and by the Holy Spirit, they were testifying to others about Christ. But also what we see is the Holy Spirit directing the apostles where to go or where not to go in their work of preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 19, when Peter was going to be invited to Cornelius' household in order to preach to them, it says there in Acts 10 and verse 19, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you," and then explains that you're to go with them without asking questions. So you have the Holy Spirit directing Peter. You go with the people who are coming, giving him those directions. In Acts chapter 13, you have the Spirit coming to the church at Antioch, because there were teachers there, as verse 1 says. And in verse 2, it says, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." In verse 4, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. The Holy Spirit directing the church to send Saul, we know him better as Paul, and Barnabas out on this journey to preach. Later in Acts chapter 16, we see the Spirit also directing Paul in another way. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So they were wanting to go in certain directions, but the Spirit was directing them a different way and not going into those places that they thought they ought to go. He was sending them another direction. And so by forbidding them to preach one place, he was directing them to another place. So the Holy Spirit was teaching, reminding, testifying to, and guiding the apostles, and also in certain cases, directing them to go or not go to certain places. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit was doing for the apostles. We see something else he is doing for the early church as a whole. You have in Acts chapter 2, the promise that Peter gave of the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. But the gift of the Holy Spirit would be given to them. So there was something going on with the Spirit that related to those Christians. In Acts chapter 8, we see something else that is, sometimes people confuse this with the gift of the Spirit in Acts 2:38. But in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The things that the Spirit would provide, would give them of miraculous abilities, early Christians there, in order to either perform miracles or prophesy or speak in tongues or whatever it might be. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 15, after Philip had been preaching in Samaria, and you had people obeying the gospel, they believed, they were baptized, they would have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Acts 2:38 talks about. But in Acts chapter 8 and verse 15, there was something else that they hadn't received. Peter and John heard about this. They came down, verse 15, came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And so they would come down, the apostles came down that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the thing that the people on Pentecost were told to do, repent and be baptized, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. These people had repented and were baptized, but the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on any of them. And so the apostles, what they did, they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. And then verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God." Whatever this is here, with the Spirit being imparted, it was something that was exclusive to the apostles. The apostles had the authority, had the ability to lay their hands on these Christians. and the Holy Spirit would be imparted to them. So this is not something that just anyone could do. Philip was not an apostle, and even though he was preaching the gospel there, he was not able to lay his hands on people. Simon couldn't offer them money for the ability to lay hands on people. This was for the apostles. This was part of their work and part of their role. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks more about what this was. Now, this was not the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we'll talk about in just a few minutes, but these were the gifts that were provided by the Spirit. They would receive the Spirit so that they would have these gifts imparted to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 talks about this, that you have these various gifts that were given by the Spirit. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is what was going on in Acts chapter 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills, as the Spirit wills, not as the person who's receiving these gifts. And so the Spirit is imparting these things, and this is done through the laying on of hands by the apostles. This was necessary in the early church in order to establish them. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 1 and verse 11 that he wanted to come to them that they might be established. He might impart some gift to them that they might be established. And so this was something that was unique there to the early church because they didn't have what we have today. We have the completed revelation of God in the scriptures. They didn't have that. The gospels were still being written. The book of Acts was still being done. The history in Acts was still ongoing, so it hadn't been recorded yet. The letters to the churches were going to be written, but you didn't have the New Testament as a document, as a written body of teaching that could be consulted and read and studied and understood and taught to others. You didn't have that. And so in order to establish these churches, you had the apostles who would lay their hands on various Christians, and the Spirit, by His will, would impart these different gifts to individuals, gifts of prophecy or tongue speaking or wisdom or knowledge. Those would be miraculously given wisdom or knowledge for the common good so that they could be established. What you also see back in Acts chapter 8, similar to what we saw in some instances with the apostles, is that the Holy Spirit, in some cases, provided direction as to where they were to go. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, you have Philip being told by the Spirit, go up and join this chariot. The chariot that where you have the official from Ethiopia, the eunuch, and the Spirit tells Philip, go and join this chariot. After he teaches them, after this man is baptized, and he goes on his way rejoicing, verse 39, they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. And so this is not just the Spirit saying, well, go in this direction, now go this place and teach them. The Spirit just snatches Philip away. And verse 40, Philip found himself at Azotus and then went on to Caesarea. So the Spirit there whisked him away, snatched him away, and took him to some other location. And so you have these types of things going on with the early church. And so the question that was asked, the question that we're looking at, how does the Holy Spirit work in our lives today? We've looked at what the Holy Spirit did for the apostles. We looked at some of the things that were being done in the early church. Well, what about today? We need to not assume that the promises that were given to the apostles regarding the help of the Spirit apply to us today, especially apply to us in the same way today. They had a different role than we do. They were Christ's witnesses. Jesus told them in Acts 1 and verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the remotest part of the earth. And so that's why they were testifying about Christ, and the Spirit was going to testify to them so they could testify, was what we read in back in John chapter 15. They were his witnesses. They're described in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 as the ambassadors for Christ, which means they were his official spokesman. What they spoke and what we have recorded in the scriptures of what they said and what they wrote, those were things that came from Christ. And so they had a different role than we do. None of us are official spokesmen for Christ. Yes, we are to speak as the oracles of God, as 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says, but we're not official spokesmen for Christ. We are not an authority. We have to appeal to the Word of God for authority. And then the miraculous gifts were given, as I mentioned, Romans 1 and verse 11, to establish the early Christians. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 also talks about a time when those would go away. The scriptures teach that these miraculously given gifts would eventually fade away, and it tells us when this is going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, and context indicates this is miraculously given knowledge, if there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. These are gifts of the Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the previous chapter. And so now Paul is saying that these things are going to be done away with. These things are going to be taken out of the way. And so as these things are taken out of the way, you have a time frame given when this would happen. And when would this happen? That says that when that which is perfect comes. Now, some people think that this is referring to Jesus. So once Jesus comes, then this is going to stop. And so these miracles and prophecy and all of that is still going on today. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the completed revelation, the partial revelation that came through prophecy and knowledge and tongue speaking. That was going to be done away with when the perfect comes, when the completed revelation comes, which we have in the scriptures. And there will be a link in the show notes, an article I wrote called Is Divine Revelation Ongoing Today? And there's actually a podcast episode on that as well, and I'll link to that too, so you can listen to that in more detail. But those gifts were given, but those were going to be going away, and those would go away when the will of God was completely revealed, which is what we have now, so we don't have those gifts. So what is it that the Spirit does for us today? Well, first of all, we have the Spirit being involved in the new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 5, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in order to talk to him and question him. And Jesus explains that in verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Spirit is instrumental in the new birth. By the Spirit, we are baptized into one body, as 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says. In Titus chapter 3, this is described in different language, a little bit different language, where instead of talking about being born again by water and the Spirit, Titus 3 verse 5 says that it describes it how he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. This is the new birth, renewing by the Holy Spirit. The washing, water in the Spirit, washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's involved in the new birth. We also, as I mentioned earlier in Acts 2 and verse 38, there's the promise that we receive the gift of the Spirit. And the reason why I said that this is not the same as Acts chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, with the miraculously given gifts of the Holy Spirit, is because those had a time frame on them that they were going to be done away with. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, after Peter says you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 39, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. As long as the call of the gospel is still made to men, which will be as long as this earth stands, this promise that if we repent and are baptized, we will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is still valid. This gift of the Spirit is referring to fellowship with God. Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 that the Spirit seals us and the Spirit is given to us as a pledge that because we have forgiveness of sins, their sins separated us from God, as Isaiah 59 verse 2 says. And so because we are forgiven of sins, we can now have a relationship with God again. We can now have fellowship with Him again. And so the Spirit is given to us as a pledge. The Spirit seals us. This gift of the Spirit is the gift of fellowship with God, that we are no longer separated from Him, but now having been forgiven of sins, now we can be with Him. 1 John 3 and verse 24 says, the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. So we abide in God. God abides in us. We know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. This is the gift of the Spirit, this fellowship with God. But then if you have your Bible, you look over in Romans chapter 8, there are several things mentioned in Romans chapter 8 as far as what the Spirit does for us today. Romans chapter 8 in verse 11 mentions there, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit dwells in us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about how this is done. The Spirit dwells in us collectively in the church. And 1 Corinthians 6 talks about how He does this individually as Christians. Our body is the temple of the Spirit. And a link to an article in the show notes about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I won't get into that anymore here in this episode. But what does the Spirit do for us today? Well, He dwells in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it talks about the Spirit leading us. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit dwells in us. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit, verse 16, testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. He testifies with our spirit, which means He is establishing that when we claim to God that we are the children of God, the Spirit is establishing that claim as being true. Similar to what Jesus talked about, although not referring to us, but referring to Himself and the claims that He was making about Himself. In John chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true." So you have the testimony that is given from or given about Christ. If He was testifying by Himself, if there was no one else who was testifying about Him, then Jesus says, then there's no basis to believe what He says. But there's another who testifies about me. He mentions different witnesses there in John chapter 5. But when we claim to be the children of God, the Spirit testifies with us and testifies about us that we are the children of God. Over in Romans chapter 8, also in verse 26, says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Interceding for us. Jude talks about in verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is what this is talking about. We are praying to God, and the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And so this is something that is being done. And the result of all of this, that through the Spirit we are able to be born again, we receive the gift of the Spirit, of fellowship with God, the Spirit dwells in us, it leads us, testifies of us, intercedes for us. The result of all of this, Paul talked about in Romans chapter 15, in verse 16, is sanctification. Romans 15, 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest of the God, priest, the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sanctifying, and other passages also talk about this. You have 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 that says that by the foreknowledge of God, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, Obey Jesus, be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours to the fullest. The Spirit sanctifies us through these things that we talked about. Now, how does this happen? If we talk about, well, what the Spirit is doing for us today, how does he do this? Well, the Scriptures talk about the Spirit working through the Word, which should not surprise us. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. That's the instrument that he uses. But we talked about at the beginning, the emphasis on the Spirit's role with the apostles. What was he going to be doing? He was going to teach them, remind them, testify to them, and guide them into all the truth, and would continue to provide these miraculous gifts until the perfect revelation was given. And so the Spirit is revealing the Word of God and then using the Word of God in order to accomplish these things. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, we talked about how the Spirit works or is instrumental in the new birth. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. So the Word of God that has been revealed by the Spirit, that is the seed by which we are born again. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it talks about there that Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith. So we have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And then Colossians 3 and verse 16 talks about the Word of Christ dwelling in us. Well, how does faith, and through faith Christ dwells in us, his Word dwells in us, how are those connected? Well, Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Through the indwelling, and, you know, link to that article that talks about the indwelling of the Spirit, because that is related to this. I'll link to that in the show notes. But this is done through the Word. The Word dwells in us. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Spirit leads us through the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 talks about Scripture being inspired by God or breathed out by God. And it equips us for every good deed. The Spirit sanctifies us. Well, Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. And so several of those things we talked about, what the Spirit does for us today, how he's involved in the new birth, that we receive the gift of the Spirit, fellowship as we follow the Lord and follow his teachings, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit leading us through the Word, sanctifying us through the truth. All of those have to do with the Spirit working through the Word. Now, the other things that we didn't mention in this list, testifying of us, as Romans 8, 16 talks about, and interceding for us, Romans 8, 26, those aren't done directly through the Word, but they are benefits we receive by following the Word. Those are things that the Spirit does while he is in heaven, in the presence of the Father. Those are the things that the Spirit is doing. Now, what else might the Spirit be doing? Now, when we think about other things that the Spirit might be doing, or God the Father, or Jesus Christ as they're up in heaven, what else are they doing? Well, we only know what has been revealed in the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about this process of revelation and what the Spirit does. And he mentions there in verse 11, who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And then talks about how the Spirit reveals these things to us. We don't know what anyone is thinking unless they make that known to us. The same way, we can't know the mind of God unless he makes that known to us. And so when we're talking about, well, what is the Spirit doing? We're limited to what has been revealed in the Word of God. So rather than speculate on what we don't know, we need to focus on what we do know. Deuteronomy 29, 29 talks about how the secret things belong to God and the things revealed belong to us. And so we need to focus on what the Scriptures teach and not think, well, what else might the Spirit be doing? Because the gift of prophecy and the gift of revelation and all of that, those have passed away. We know how the Spirit is involved and works through the Word, where we can be born again, we can be sanctified, we can be led and guided and all of that. But a lot of people have the idea that the Spirit is somehow directly leading them to do certain things, to go certain places, to make certain decisions, or revealing things to them in addition to what is revealed in the Bible. Now, as we already talked about, the direct guidance by the Spirit was going to cease. That revelation was going to cease. So we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But even if someone believed that the Spirit was doing this for them, it's important to understand that whatever guidance or revelation is given would be given to them. If they really believe that's the Spirit talking to them or revealing something to them, whatever it is not going to contradict the Bible. And so we need to test all things. This goes back to focusing on the Word of God. We need to test all things by what the Bible says. 1 John 4 and verse 1 talks about testing the spirits. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bereans were commended because they examined the Scriptures to see whether the things that Paul was saying were true. And so if people have the concept, well, the Spirit is leading me to do this, or God is, His Spirit is directing me, or has told this to me, or I've received this in a dream, the Scriptures don't say that happens. But even if someone believes that that's what's going on, whatever that message is, whatever that guidance is not going to contradict the Bible. And so if someone thinks that, well, the Spirit is leading them to do this, don't do it. Look to the Scriptures and make sure you know what the mind of God is and what His will is. And so as we wrap all of this up, we've gone on a little bit long in this episode. This is a big topic. But as we wrap all this up, the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us, and instructs us through the Word that He has revealed, since it has been fully revealed. He also intercedes for us and testifies of us as we follow the Word of God that He has revealed. So we don't need to think that the Spirit is ever trying to lead us in a different direction from what has already been revealed in the Scriptures. Instead, we need to focus on what He has revealed and be faithful to God according to that standard. Well, thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you found this episode to be helpful, I'll ask you to share it with others. And if you have a question for a future episode, there are several ways to submit that. You can fill out the podcast question submission form. You can find that on the show notes to this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast or any of the episodes there. It will be a link if you're listening to this later after some other episodes have been released. You can still find it in the most recent episode. You can also send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page. You can tweet your question if you use Twitter to Plain Bible Teaching. The name there on Twitter is Plain Bible Teach. And we'll be talking about other things as we go forward. But if you have questions, and we can add those to the list that will come later, be happy to consider whatever questions that you have. As we continue on, we're going to be talking about in the next few episodes questions that relate to modern-day Israel. We're going to address questions that relate to Satan, a question that's come in about church planting, which I think is an interesting topic to talk about, and more that have been coming in. So we'll talk about all of those and whatever else that you might have that you want to submit. We'll add those to the list too. But stay tuned, and Lord willing, we'll have a couple more episodes coming soon. We'll have another episode coming in about 2 weeks. And so we'll talk more then. Appreciate you listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.